Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Lowry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Frank Film Club. This is the club for lovers and makers of film. I'm Hannah, this is Maisie and Lowry. We are filmmakers and we love film. And today we're going to be talking about Saltburn. I've just had a little look on IMDb and it's number one on Movie Meter right now. So it's hot topic.
Hot topic indeed.
Mad. It is.
Great chats are ahead, fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. There's almost too much to talk about, to be honest, but we'll make it through.
Break it down.
Saltburn is about a student at Oxford University who finds himself drawn into the world of a charming and aristocratic classmate who invites him to his eccentric family's sprawling estate for a summer never to be forgotten. Mm-hmm. It's written and directed by Emerald Fennell, starring Barry Keoghan, Jacob Elordi, Rosamund Pike, Richard E. Grant, Alison Oliver, and it was produced by our fave, Lucky Chap. Mm. You can watch it on Amazon Prime if you haven't watched it yet. And stay tuned for, in this episode, we're going to be speaking about a lot of things, I feel. The filmmaking process, of course, how it looks, the pacing, the character arc of the lead, Oliver Quick, which is a really interesting chat. I'm looking forward to that. The vulgarity I want to talk to you about, like what you think is too much, what you think is iconic, what do you think needs to be in there, doesn't need to be in there. I really want to speak about the reveal as well. So stay tuned for all of that. First of all, how are you both doing?
Yeah, really well. Thanks. Yeah. Very excited to be talking about this today. And yeah, I'm doing great. I have been working and doing some really nice walks with my dog recently. It's been lush. Been very cold, but very lovely.
Nice.
That's heaven.
Yeah. Mm. How about you?
I've been teaching myself to crochet. Yeah. I feel like I shouldn't say I've been teaching myself to crochet. There are so many lovely people who have spent hours making YouTube videos, editing them and uploading them. And then for me to go and be like, I've been teaching myself to crochet.
I'm just making it up as I go along.
Yeah. Like I have, I'm like, Where do I feel the wool should go next? Yeah, no, I've been watching some excellent YouTube videos. The creators I can't even credit because I haven't been paying enough attention to who they are. Mm. But if I keep crocheting, coming up later on in the series, hear me credit the wonderful crochet content creators of YouTube that I have been watching. But yeah, I've been loving it. Currently crocheting just like a bit of fabric.
Just a line.
Yeah, just like a thing. And then one day I'll do like something with it. But right now I'm just going and going and going. And people keep asking me, what is it? And I'm like, just let the artist work.
Okay. Like, we'll get the process.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So really slowly over the course of this series, what we're going to do is we're just going to like add a hat, add a scarf, add some earmuffs.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to have like a tablecloth.
Oh, yeah, seeing the tablecloth will be crochet.
With FFC on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a plan and that's great.
What have you been up to, Han?
Well, I went to, so back to work since baby, and we had Daisy's first day in a rehearsal room for a musical earlier in the week. She slept the whole time.
Love that. That's so good.
She's so chill.
Were they not like screaming?
Who, Daisy?
No, the people. Like, were they not singing?
Yeah, to be... No, we were just doing a read through.
Okay, so it was fine.
There was music going on, but to be honest, she is so used to me screaming, hooter hollering, singing that she's just like,
let me rest.
That's so funny that it's obviously soothing to her.
Yeah, that's nice.
Napo baby in the making, obviously.
Yeah.
So great. Okay, so on to Saltburn. First thoughts, what did you think? Where did you watch it and how did you feel?
The first time I watched this, I was on my own at the cinema at the Watershed. Shout out, great cinema. And I didn't know anything about the film before going to see it because I hadn't heard people talking about it that much at that point because I think it was like as soon as it came out. And I don't think I'd seen the trailer, so I literally knew nothing. And I think that really worked in the film's favour.
Mm.
And I was just like, this is mad. And was really entertaining. But like couldn't really gather my thoughts on it. On the second watch, I felt a bit differently. And I'm excited to like dissect. But initially, I was like, whoa, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah, okay, so I should preface this by saying that I watched this between Christmas and New Year, that like weird couple of days, and I had been completely overrun by content and interviews and like little slices of scenes and quotes, and I had been like, this film had been shoved so far down my throat before I had ever sat down to watch it that I think it really did tarnish my view of it in a way, which is complicated, isn't it? Like, I mean, maybe something for us to even think about when we're distributing our movies and how that kind of works, because I had been drip fed things from you since you saw that screening at the Watershed. So when I sat down to watch it, I had really, really high expectations, and I found it in ways predictable. The story, however, the characters, the dialogue, some of the funnest people that I've seen grace the screen in a long time. Performances so unexpected, but I just felt like I knew exactly what was going to happen with the story. And it's funny because I think that most people don't, but I don't know, I just saw it. However, didn't mean I enjoyed it. Like, I didn't mean I didn't enjoy it. I just, I think some of those parts that just go like, oh, this is the coolest film ever, like, were just lost on me a little bit. But still just think the performances are A+.
Cool. I feel like a mixture of both of what you've said there, because I went to this was actually the first film that I went to see in the cinema after Daisy was born. So I was sat there with my stupid welcome back. I was sat there drinking my little coffee in the Everyman cinema down Cardiff Bay, and I was just like, wow, what a film to like bring me back.
Yeah,
and it was like very entertaining. Hadn't seen any of it, any stuff online about it, so I was in that boat. And then I rewatched it last night with Woz, who hadn't seen it, after actually looking into what everybody's saying about this film for this episode. And not to say that I was influenced by those things, but it did start picking apart the things. So it wasn't like as entertaining of an experience, because I was like, okay, there's a flaw. That doesn't make sense. What's happening there? I'm so interested that you knew what was coming though, because I really did not.
Yeah, immediately. I mean, are we allowed to spoil? Like,
yeah.
This is everyone, if you haven't watched this film and you don't want it spoiled, click away immediately. And then come back and play through to the end. When it opens and there's all the sexy shots of Jacob Elordi, which just sign me up for that any day.
Great.
I'll keep rewatching it. I was like, he's dead. He's going to die.
But yeah.
Immediately.
But I think they do also talk about him in the past tense. Although actually it could just be that they're talking about him then. Yeah.
And then as the reveal's happening, I'm like, shit's going to go down and he's going to have the house. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's mad that you thought that he was going to have the house. Yeah.
It's not actually then. When was it? It was one of the conversations. Oh, I think it's when they're outside, when Oliver and Elspeth are out in the garden and he's starting to get a little bit cocky and start to like weave in.
It's been quite manipulative at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, he's going to be the goody baddie, you know, he's going
to. Yeah. Well, I really want to speak about that reveal, because the pacing of the reveal for me on the second watch, I actually on the first watch, I was like, what? Why has it happened so quickly? Maybe we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
First of all, I wanted to just talk about or ask you what you think. Because this is what a lot of the discourse online has been about, is like there's so many themes being trying to approach here that does it become too big for what it's trying to actually do? And so it's left a little bit empty in its content. So I've written down a few of the themes that I have thought of from this. And I wanted to know if you thought there was anything else that I'm really missing or that you thought was done well or not done well. So obsession or infatuation with money or another person. Reinvention. So when you go to university, that you reinvent yourself. Outstaying your welcome. poverty porn. Being disposable and codependent relationships when you're young, which I feel like I think we've spoken about before, like clinging on to people when you're like a teenager. Is there any like thing that you think was done really well in this, or was, or there's any other themes that you thought you took away from the film after you watched it?
The infatuation with like money. What did you say?
Infatuation with money.
Yeah. I think that it was highly entertaining in that. And like, it was, I mean, it's that. I feel like there's such a theme right now in like a lot of things. But the interesting one was the reinvention. Mm. Like when you go to university, love that as a core theme for it. Kind of wish it was more about that. That was just a little side dish, you know, in the... Yeah, it's interesting because it is all of those things. And I did really love all of them. I think they're all incredible messages. I wonder if that is what has impeded like my viewing experience. I actually think it's my viewing experience has been impeded by everyone online. How could you? I'm kidding. No, I think that, you know, I think I feel envious that I didn't get to enjoy this film more. Yeah. You know, because I think that I would love it.
This film is like Don't Worry Darling though, like everybody's got an opinion on it and it's going online, and lol, because we're adding to that now. I know. By putting this out.
Yeah, we're like, how could people just like sit and pick apart a movie?
Yeah. I think that all of these themes that you've pulled out there are very, like, that is exactly what it is. What it is about. I didn't feel like there was like a particular social commentary, and that, and like I've seen a few people like hate on it because they were like, they think that the social commentary is that the rich aren't that bad. It's like kind of like poor people would be bad if they had the chance, which I didn't really agree. Like I mean, obviously that would be an awful message, but like, I don't think that is the message. I think that's people maybe watching that and trying to put something bad onto it. I don't really think it is a film with a social commentary.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I think that's what a lot of the like criticism has been, is like, what is it actually trying to say? And also like, who, if it is about that class system and they're saying something about the rich not being that bad, like why is Emerald Fennell the one to tell that story?
Well, but then also, if she was to make a film about like how it is to be working class, we'd all be like, what?
Yeah.
So it's also like, I don't really know what else she'd make.
Yeah, I think that like sometimes we're trying to really like interrogate something which is like really just an expression, and like perhaps there isn't the super like deep thought meaning behind like what this actually says and like who this is about and like who needs to learn from this, who needs to watch this and feel bad, and who needs to watch. It's just like something that's like entertainment at the end of the day, and these are the people that it's about, and they're really entertaining. Like, and like that's actually kind of sometimes like okay, because I don't think that it's overly saying that. Like, well, yeah, because it hasn't overly pinned itself to a social, like, commentary, it means that you can just, like, enjoy all of these voices and the absurdity of the whole thing and go, like, what a fun story.
Yeah.
And, like, exit. You don't have to be, like, how is this changing the world? Yeah. Like, you know, it's just, like, I don't know if that was Emerald's like mission. Yeah, you know?
And that's the thing as well. There's
just like romanticizing everyone... her life. You know, like she's, well, I mean, I don't mean it like that. I just mean like she's, this is her experience in the world, and she's made this like really romantic, fun story. And just like
she's
as an artist.
She's also not pretended that it's meant to be anything other than a real amazing like journey through an absurd, entertaining
And about summer. Obsession, and I think you've like nailed it though, that it's just, it's about obsession and not like envy and like wanting to be something else.
Yeah. Just sat in this
in a mad house.
Yeah. And it's like a place that's like, when you think about when we're developing a story, it's just like, there's just never a shortage of like a fun backdrop that you could like create scenes in and put people, like situations you could put people in and characters that you can have crossing over. Yeah. Thinking like namely of when Farley and Oliver are like, have their little beef kind of thing. Cause they're like, it's fun.
Yeah.
It is fun storytelling.
Yeah.
But yeah, just some of those bigger bits, predictable to me.
Well, the execution of the whole viewing experience. So the way it's shot, the soundtrack, and which also Promising Young Woman had the best soundtrack.
I know, she's great. She knows what she wants, doesn't she?
Yeah, totally. What kind of aspects of the film did you love?
Loved that. I loved the specificity.
Yeah.
To the time. The time, like it's early noughties.
Yeah, 2006. 2008. Yeah,
because they had the last Harry Potter book and they're all reading that.
Oh, I knew it was going to come.
I knew. No, honestly, that bit in the film, I was like, this is cool.
That's why I like the film.
And that's why I got Maisie that for Christmas. I got you the book for Christmas.
She did. She got me a Harry Potter and left me house for Christmas so I can throw myself over furniture and read it.
Yeah, and then you said that you didn't like the film and I was like, shit, I got you that for Christmas.
No, it's good. I like the visuals of the film. And like, if I can lounge on a chair reading Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows feeling like I'm living in Saltburn Manor, then
But yeah, I really loved that aspect of it because it felt, it was some kind of familiarity in a world that was so unfamiliar.
Mm.
Like, because none of the rest of the backdrop I could relate to.
Wait, are you still talking about the Harry Potter book?
I've actually just moved to the Harry Potter film. No, I mean within Saltburn.
Wait.
I mean within Saltburn, like the Saltburn setting. Mm. I cannot relate to any of that whatsoever, as I'm sure most people can't. But like when they're reading Harry Potter, I was like, okay, now I know like the time and what was going on in the UK. Like we're in Britain, you know?
I thought you meant like because they were reading Harry Potter, I was like, they're just so much like us. They are. The rich. Okay, got you.
No, more just like, okay, now I know where we are in the time in the UK,
mm-hmm.
and I felt some kind of connection there.
Great.
But other than that, not really much connection at all. But I can't even remember what the point was that we were saying now.
You were just asking, like, what were the parts that we loved, you know? What were the bits that were standout highlights?
I just loved that Harry Potter was in it.
Yeah. I really loved Venetia. Mm. Just as a character and her whole thread through the arc, also the clothes that she wore and like drinking champagne, playing tennis, getting hit with tennis ball. Like, I don't know,
By Jacob Elordi.
By Jacob Elordi, I was like, I wish life was like this.
If only.
No, I don't know. I think that she really brought it into a place that I loved.
Yeah.
Her whole vibe, I was like, I really clung to through the entire thing. From the first moment when you see her like sitting on that chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just loved her, to be honest with you.
Yeah, she's great.
And also close second is Rosamund Pike and her relationship with Carey Mulligan. And just the like, yeah. Just I love the girlies.
Yeah,
I love
the girlies.
Great girlies in this
great
film.
Girly great characters. Girlies.
Yeah.
It reminded me of all the montages and stuff, like when they're playing tennis. It's like Skins.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the partying in the in the university. It just reminded me of Skins.
Mm.
And I was like, was I in uni when this was set? But I actually wasn't. I was a lot younger. But I thought I was at uni because I like to go out and stuff when I was 16.
Who didn't?
Legends. But it reminded me a lot of that. And I feel like, because Emerald Fennell was in university at Oxford in 2006.
Right.
So I feel like that obviously was a Skins time and she's like brought this sort of feel into.
Oh, totally. It's like, it's such a... love letter to like that time period.
Yeah.
When I had older siblings who were like being cool and stuff, and I was like 10. And like Skins is amazing.
Did you watch Skins when it came out?
No.
I know, I watched it when I moved to Bristol because I was like, oh, obviously. I'm in Bristol, gotta watch Skins.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. One thing about the time and place specificity, I heard a little something something. So Jacob Elordi, he had his eyebrow piercing when he's at Oxford. But the producers were like, we can't cast the statue that is Jacob Elordi and then put a horrible eyebrow piercing in his face because we're going to like ruin the money, which is like kind of ridiculous, but funny. And then that's the reason why he only has it at Oxford and he doesn't have it when he gets back home like in the summer.
Because doesn't he say in it, he's like, my mum doesn't like it.
Yeah, they like roast it all in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Emerald really wanted him to have it throughout because she was like, at that time, if you had an eyebrow piercing, you were the sexiest boy in the world.
But they were like, we can't keep that
like, yeah, they were like, no one gets that anymore. And I mean, I liked him with his eyebrow pierced. I mean, I think that he's just easy on the eyes.
Well,
you do
a little bit. I'm going to go to some letterbox reviews later, but one of them, which I haven't included, was Save Me, Jacob Elordi's eyebrow piercing, Save Me. he's just funny. A dreamboat, isn't he?
He's such a dreamboat.
Yeah. He's actually, his British accent I thought was so good. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Really amazing. Yeah. His accent, lots of people doing accents in this. His was my fave.
I mean, Barry's was off quite a lot, I thought.
Yeah, but then, so.
Yeah.
Can we move on to this?
We can move on to everything.
So he goes back home.
Yeah, which was so obvious as soon as they got in the, like.
Yeah. And they don't have accents. So maybe he's faking the accent.
True.
Faking a working like class accent, but it did sound Irish.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh my god! Did Sean Dooley? Sean Dooley's got a Northern accent,
but it wasn't Scouse. It wasn't like as Scouse as Barry's. It was just like a bit Northern.
Maybe this is me just trying to find artistic license to defend Barry Keoghan, but could work, right?
But they did live in that area though, in Prescott. That's where they went, which is like.
But then, do you have more of an accent if you're brought up in working class? Like, yes, probably. Than if you were brought up in like middle class or upper middle class suburbia to a council estate, you might have a thicker accent on a council estate. I'm saying this as somebody who, you know, did not grow up in middle class.
Yeah.
Like, does that make a difference?
Oh, I see. So
true. His family sound more like...
Neutral.
Neutral.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
And he's trying to amp it up a little bit.
Yeah, he's really like...
God,
yeah.
I've not heard anyone say that. That's so interesting.
Not heard.
Yeah. Wow. Because I think when...
Like most things that come out of my mouth, they are totally original
and unique. Just make notes, everybody. Please.
Are you listening?
Yeah. I'd kind of wondered when they didn't have the accent, if it was just like... like an error on the filmmaker's side because they weren't Northern, but then they would have been able to figure out that that doesn't sound anywhere near as Scouse as Barry was doing.
This brings me on to a really, who was interviewing him? You know, at the beginning?
He was just chatting to Elizabeth. Telling her. He was just telling her a story when she's like dying at the end. He was just sat at her bedside being like, I loved him, or whatever he was saying.
And that's what we see at the beginning?
Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. Thank you. I thought he was being interviewed for like, I don't know, I just did not connect. Well, in that, he's still got his accent, so surely if he's gotten what he wants, maybe the accent would have dropped.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'm making a mountain out of a molehill.
No, but it's very interesting.
It's a beautiful mountain.
It's a beautiful mountain. Stunning. Wow.
Also, the fact that they managed to get all the way up to Prescott just via country lanes was really impressive.
It just goes to show, like, what stands out to you in a film and what stands out to you in a film.
Yeah, Larry's there, like, bird's eye view mapping out the United Kingdom. Like, so I'm pretty sure at this point you're going to have to hit the M6.
I was just like, they got up there, like, really quick. Obviously, time passes in the film. But I was like, surely he'd be on, like, the motorway up north and would be getting suspicious.
How do you know they didn't go on a motorway?
They had
their top down, didn't they?
Yeah. I can't imagine that little Land Rover going on the M5 or whatever.
Brilliant. Honestly, stay tuned for more juicy, juicy conversations.
Really got to think about all these things.
It doesn't make sense for the plot. Okay?
Well, there's been a couple of other things that people have been not too happy that don't make sense at the time. So they watched Superbad on the TV and it wasn't out.
When was that?
2006. 2007.
Oh.
Warren did make a good point. And he said, yeah, but maybe it was 2006 and then they had Christmas because there is the Cheeky Girls song that plays at Christmas.
You're right.
And then maybe it's 2007. So maybe those people are wrong.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, I wanted to speak to you about the vulgarity, the shock factor. Which one was your favorite moment? Out of the moments.
Well.
Or least favourite.
I feel like my favourite and also my least favourite, but like something that I just like think is kind of iconic is the bathwater bit. It's very Call Me By Your Name peach scene.
Yeah.
Which like reading that in the book, I was like, wow, this is like, I don't know. I just thought it was the most amazing like book actually. And then when it came out and everyone's all like, oh my God, like the peach scene. I was like, just like grow up actually, a little bit. And so with that scene, everyone's like, this is like insane. On the vulgarity, I mean, you know that I kind of like fucked up movies. So it just, I was like, this is great. Feel robbed that we didn't get to see them like, but everything else I was like, this is just like this is amazing.
I did think on the bathtub scene, it was like, it was just when he like licks the actual plug,
drain.
That's when I'm like, oh my God, like that is disgusting. Not the
vulgar
fact that
in a different
like
way
water it with bits in there. Yeah, it was just the plug hole. Plug holes are gross.
Yeah, to be fair, I felt the same way. It's also the I don't know whether it was Foley or what, but like this, how loud the slurp.
Yeah. Yeah, it's giving ramen.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah. I feel like we did an episode on Ponyo where we're talking about like them eating in Ponyo, and now we're also talking about those exact, and like they're all like mmm, and now the exact same sound very
the,
different
they
content.
Actually use the same sound.
Yeah, it was the exact facts. Same sound.
There's a company that have made Jacob Elordi's batter water candles, which I want. What does that smell of?
Yeah, what have I got to do around here for someone to gift me that?
Okay, well, next time you see me, might just have a candle.
Jacob Elordi bath water candle. So funny.
What did you think of the grave scene?
I thought
it did go on quite long. Actually, on the second time I watched it, I was like, okay, this is like going on now. We get it. We've been like shocked, but it went on. And it was quite funny because the audience that I was with, there was quite a mixed audience. There were some young'uns, there were some old'uns. Mm. And there was a lot of very shocked people. But I feel like you could also kind of like, as soon as he was like on that gravy, you could kind of like feel like,
he's horny.
Are you like gonna do something weird?
You're gonna fuck that grave.
Kind of, yeah.
Hey, guy.
And then he starts and then you're like, yeah, I kind of thought you might do that. And then, I don't know, it's just like, it was a shocker. But it did go on.
Yeah. This is the thing, like, because there was the story itself, I found to be predictable. What I like marveled in was the unpredictability of the performances, and I just loved watching it. You know what we were saying about Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things, and me just being like, you're not buying this, like even you're not buying this. So I'm not putting my wallet back in my pocket immediately. This I was like, even Barry doesn't know what's going to happen next, what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
I just was like, he's so, like, in this whole thing, he's so alive. I think he's, what, like, probably the greatest actor, like, of that age, my age group.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so I guess I was just enjoying it, less so about the characters and the story. I was just like, he fucking did that. He fucking did that. And I just think that that's like iconic.
Well, that scene wasn't planned. It actually wasn't scripted.
What?
You're joking.
So that's really funny.
Wait, what? Wait,
what was
when
planned?
Did they decide, or did he just do that? Because then that makes it even wilder.
Yeah, no. He didn't just do it. He didn't just do it because fucking hell. No. Close the sets quick.
Get him away.
Intimacy coordinator.
What? Did they have an intimacy?
I don't know.
Must have done, surely.
Well, wait, I guess. So
When did they plan this at some point? Otherwise, that's weird.
So it was scripted that he was gonna have some light petting and fingering, is what I read.
Of the grave.
Mm. That he was gonna lie on top of it. But then I think it was like the day of or the day before, they had a discussion, Emerald Fennell and Barry Keoghan. And she was like, I feel like he would kind of, and Barry said, I wasn't there, but like, this is what I've read. And Barry said, unzip. And then they were off to the races, as it were.
That is so funny. That is mad.
I love that. love that. The opportunity to like act and just like really
do something
fucking crazy. That's, I think, why everyone does it. Because like I've always said, like, there's no other job where you, whenever I've done a scene where I'm like shouting or screaming, and like, there's no other job in the world where you can come on set, do that. I'm not doing it off take, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then just like go home. It's like, it's such a release of like emotions and like weird behavior that you just like, and it's safe. Well, it needs to be safe.
Yeah.
But that's why I just think it's fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Just go to work, fuck a grave, go home.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, when else can you fuck a grave, guys?
No, I literally, I totally know what you're saying.
You get a bit sold off.
Yeah. Weird that.
Which is weird. I wanted to ask you if you thought of any alternate casting, because this role, which I'm also, I know we're doing Wonka in a week or a couple of weeks' time. Mm-hmm. That's another conversation. But because this is such an interesting role, is there anybody else? Because there's somebody else that was front of mind for the role instead of Barry.
Oh, interesting.
Because you've said Wonka,
is it to me?
Fuck yeah.
Were you bringing Wonka into the conversation?
I have no idea.
It's Timothy. Very different movie.
I think that would have been like so...
Yeah.
Well, he's already done the peach.
Yeah. We don't need to see the grave. We don't need to see the bathwater. We've got the peach.
He'd start getting a name for himself if he did that.
Yeah. Well, imagine he had this and Wonka come out in the same year. That's two very different things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that was good. They didn't go with that. Also, I actually fell in love with Barry in this film.
Yeah.
Like, we were saying before, like, it's so great for him to do a casting where he's like a bit sexy.
Totally. Because he is such a heartthrob. But I think people have just, he's always done like, he did like Joker, and he's done these characters.
And this character is still very weird. But somehow we all fall in love with him. Yeah.
Okay, the reveal. How do you feel about the reveal, the graduation of his character?
This is the part that I found like quite predictable. And when it was happening, I was just sort of like, this is my glass of wine.
Yeah. Really
accepting.
For
the people who are listening on podcasts.
I just swigged. Yeah. I just swigged my wine and nodded, basically. Yeah, exactly. For the people listening to this, that was how underwhelming my reaction was. Yeah, it was... Maybe I should top up my glass. Yeah. But I feel like that's unfair for that to be like the takeaway, because I had been influenced and tarnished by these devious people on the internet. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, what was your reaction like in the cinema?
Well, I think the reveal, I can't think at what point I was like, okay, oh yeah, I get it. Like, shit, I
are
see what's going on.
Are we classing the reveal as when they go to the parents' house, or are we saying when his demeanor starts changing?
Oh, because when he went to the parents' house, that was a bit where I was like, But the like bigger, more psycho, because I just thought that's harmless, right? That's reinvention. That's him like really trying to like fit in and or something, you know?
Give him what he wants.
Yeah.
Jacob or Felix.
Exactly.
Like he was excited to know. He was like, oh mate, that must have been terrible. What's what else?
Yeah. But I'm talking more about the like when he starts to get a bit like crazy, crazy guy.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
that was a bit where I was like, but before that I was like, sitting upright in my seat.
I think similar when on the first bit, except similar.
Hmm.
But then on the like the reveal, when it, I was like, oh yeah, whoa. And then it does like the whole flashback to like he popped his bike and then he did have money in his wallet when he pretended. And I was like, yeah, we get it. We got it. Like, you didn't need to do any of these flashbacks.
Yeah.
And that was, and then he's like typing gibberish on his laptop. And I was like, I hope that's meant to be like stupidly funny because it was like really weird.
Stupidly
funny. Yeah, it was just like really, I was like, yeah, we get it. So I thought by that point, I did think that the end kind of went on a bit. And we were like, yeah. No, we get it.
Mm. Yeah. When he's speaking to her in the bed, Elspeth in the bed,
yeah.
I was like, but I was like this with Barbie as well. Like, I just don't think you need that clarification tying up thing because you couldn't be more clear how psychopathic and planned this was.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
When I heard Emerald Fennell talking about that, the discussions about the eyebrow piercing, I thought about like the extent of the discussions that must have been happening about this film. And I can't help but feel like maybe at some point it was just like a bit oversourced with everyone being like, what if people don't understand this? And
yeah, because it's risky. So commercial.
So I think, yeah.
Or to make it more commercial.
Yeah.
They think people are stupid.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like it was a bit oversourced.
Mm.
Needed to just let it, you know, let it sit.
Yeah.
Let the flavors come from within, just permeate the room rather than soaking it in red hot. Yeah. What's that really nice hot sauce that you have in your fridge all the time?
Sriracha.
No. No, the one that's like...
Sweet Baby Ray's.
Oh, exactly.
It's not. I don't think it's hot.
No, oh, but, you know, they put a bit too much of that on, I think.
Mm, yeah.
Too much of a good thing.
Baby Ray's.
Wow. It was like night and day. He was this awkward character. And then he drinks Jacob Elordi's bathwater and instantly he is...
a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the scene after that. And he starts to become manipulative. But obviously he's been manipulative before that point, but he's just outwardly more confident in his manipulation from that point. And I found that a little bit jarring.
Bit on the nose.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you think that's what it's meant to be? He drinks the bathwater and then he's...
has the energy.
Yeah, he's like powers up.
Maybe.
Oh my God, eat the rich. And then he eats the rich. And then he eats the rich.
Oh my God. No, but for real.
Yeah, yeah, now you've said it.
Now you said it. That is, he does, something happens to him after that moment. Something happened to me after that moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
We've cracked it.
Okay, great. Let's go home.
I'm a genius.
Genius. So part of that, I did have a look into it. And the only thing that I could really find on that is that in terms of his performance was that he had an Oliver 1, Oliver 2, Oliver 3, Oliver 4, so that he knew what his sort of like, his characterization was, at that point.
Yeah.
Like what Emma Stone did in Poor Things with her developing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought that it was very quick how it happened, Oliver Quick. And
It was Oliver Quick.
Yeah,
agree. I wonder if any scenes were cut where there was a bit more graduation.
I would have liked just one more scene in between.
Yeah.
Or just an in-betweeny transitional.
In general, I do just want to understand him as a character more. Like, why? Why all of this? I wish the reveal bit where they did all those flashbacks was like, I mean, this might be awful, but like, something about his child, like, where did he come from before?
Exactly.
Why does he like have this like obsession and envy? And yeah, that could have made it more better.
I hadn't had that thought before, but you saying that makes me feel like, I just feel like there's always, I wanted to be more conflicted as an audience member between like who I love, whereas I just felt the whole way through I knew who I was supposed to love and who I was supposed to not love a little bit, you know? And I wanted to feel a bit more bad about those things for like reasons, you know? I wanted to see Jacob Elordi do something really like mean and then be like, oh, but I'm still obsessed with him. And then I wanted to see Barry Keoghan have something like super heartbreaking and then be like, when he's, you know, doing all these fucked up things. You know, I wanted a little bit more of the yin and the yang. Mm. And I feel like everyone was just doing one at one time.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. It's funny though, because I wouldn't say, like, I really enjoyed this film as a standalone film, but it's almost like I want an alternate film, which is like a bit more reality-based or like feels a little bit less heightened entertainment and it's more about like a character study.
But you could go, oh my God, like, does this actually happen?
Yeah.
Like, who is the, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That yeah. Because I don't want this film to be like majorly different because I really enjoyed the viewing experience.
Yeah, it's a really entertaining film. It's brilliant. And it's been so fun to watch like the internet frenzy that's happened over Christmas, people accidentally watching it with their parents. Love and like, that. It's just, it's brilliant. Like, I just think that that is bringing joy to the world and
or breaking your family.
But yeah, I just think,
I wonder if there's going to be any new like fetishes grown from this.
Baby, if you can think it, someone's into it.
I wanted to just hit on the critics' response.
Ooh, yeah.
And I'm going to do some letterbox reviews because I love you, everyone who's written letterbox reviews that have made me laugh.
Best.
So critics' response was that it was very, very mixed. Some people were saying it's all style and no substance. There's a really good piece in The Guardian. Check me. That's like, this is like a film which is just vibes, and that can be a thing and a good thing, but it's just vibes. It's not
vibes. And listen, loved them. Like, loved them.
The vibes.
Yeah, but I get it.
All shock and marketing. And that was like the bad responses. But I think a lot of people have just been saying quite similar stuff to what we've said. There have been some scathing reviews. Letterboxd. Okay. Zoe Rose Bryant said, a movie about how Jacob Elordi is simply so fucking hot that his mere existence is enough to make someone legally insane.
I mean, it's not wrong. Yeah.
Love that.
That is so funny. The fact that people write these for free, like,
you know
what I mean? They're so brilliant.
Mm. I wonder how long, like, do people take a long time over this to write them? Anyway.
Oh, I'm sure. It's a hobby. It's a pastime. Yeah. What am I going to put on my letterbox? It's great.
Giaba has said, I swear that freak gained new powers every time he consumed the bodily fluids of this family.
Which because he's multiple bodily fluids.
He likes Spider-Man.
Mm. Yeah, wow.
Emerald Fennell has actually said, this is a vampire movie.
We love those.
We love that.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm. Okay, Dakota Joaquin wrote, a fine addition in the Barry Keoghan plays some sort of fucking unhinged freak cinematic universe.
That's so true. I wonder if there'll ever be like a lovely film with Barry's story.
I don't want it.
Like, in
I want free Barry. I need him biblically.
Yeah. and then Sydney. So I feel the same way about Saltburn as people probably feel towards the ultra-rich societies at its centre. Who cares if it's shallow when it's pretty and fun?
Exactly.
That's so true. Yeah.
True.
So brilliant.
Those are excellent. I love Letterboxd.
Thank you, Letterboxd.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so next for the filmmaker. So Emerald Fennell, she is going on to, there's a few things. So a film called Sweetness with Sony which she's starring in, writing and directing.
Oh, wow. Cool.
With Nicola Stoller, who was the director of Bros, which we've...
Oh, yeah.
You saw
that.
It.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good fun. Great film, like rom-com.
Oh. Well, they're co-directing and she's starring in it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Stunning.
That's cool.
And
that'll be good fun, I reckon.
Spacebound, which is a comedy sci-fi TV movie with Fox.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
I'm interested to see what she does as a turn next, because Promising Young Woman and Saltburn have been like very shocking and like shocking endings. And I'm wondering.
Is that her thing?
Yeah.
Is that her? Will she do three and then move on to a family?
Pride and Prejudice or something. Yeah. Okay, cool. So final thoughts, please.
Final thoughts. Was so entertaining. More the first time than the second time. I hope in a few years I'll forget what happened and then watch it and enjoy it like I did the first time I watched it.
Yeah.
But performances are absolutely excellent. I actually found all the characters so hilarious. And yeah, it is a good film. It has its flaws, but it's excellent as well.
Yeah, I think that I will rewatch it. Like, it's so funny, isn't it? There's some films that you love that you'll just like never watch again. And there's some films like this that I'm just like have complex feelings about. But I think it's maybe going to become a bit of a culty one. Mm. And I think that that's cool. I've loved actually listening to you both like chat about it and your like experiences and hearing these reviews. I just think that. Yeah, I think it's been really entertaining to do that. And like, you know, I think that means that a movie has done something important if we can like sit for an hour and chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, is this an indie film? Is it classed as an indie
film? Who knows? What does that mean anymore, you know?
But it...
Weird.
But it's like a lot of people have watched, like my dad watched this, my cousins have watched it, like my friend, like everyone I know has watched this. And it's like, and they all have like had thoughts on it. And it's not really the type of film that I would expect a lot of those people to have watched.
That's nice.
And I think that's cool. Like everyone is wanting to chat.
That's the thing. If you release something like this onto Amazon or Netflix at a time where everybody's going to be watching Amazon or Netflix, then everybody is going to watch it because it's like, it's shocking and people will talk about it and it's readily available. So, well, fantastic. Thank you for the chat.
Thank you.
That was great.
Yeah, thank you so much, Han.
So reach out to us on TikTok and Instagram at Frank Film Club, and you can email us filmclub@wrapped.world. Thank you so much.
Next week, we're going to be chatting about Past Lives, which I'm really excited for. You can watch it on Amazon and you can watch it on Apple TV Plus, but nowhere's doing it for free, just as a little, it's like you got to pay for it. So go over there. It's so worth it. This movie is beautiful. And I'm really, really looking forward to talk about it. A bit of a change of pace, something a little more soft and sad, perhaps, but entertaining nonetheless. So tune in next week for our episode on Past Lives.
If you like what you saw, please like and subscribe. It helps our channel more than you could know. And we really want to know what you think of the film as well. So please pop in the comments what you liked, what you didn't like. Do you agree with us? Do you not? Let us know.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.